Please open your Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. I will be reading verses 10 through 21. Jeremiah chapter 6, we have God's word as follows. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken or hear. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. And therefore I am full of the fury or wrath of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken or listen. Therefore hear, O you nations, and know, O congregation, that is what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. As far as the reading of God's holy word, may he bless it to our spiritual understanding and nourishment today. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps what characterizes our times more than anything else is the incessant and oft times raucous clamor for change that fills the ecclesiastical air. The password of those advocating change is relevance. The church, it is said, must be relevant to the times. For only in this way will the church be able to speak intelligently and effectively to this modern age. And you know, this clamor for change has touched upon almost every aspect of church life. Changes are introduced in the theology of the church, and they're sought also in the historical confessions of the church. The old is no good anymore. It's too outdated, too dogmatic, too hard. Changes are made also in the liturgy of the church, both in the manner of worship and in the liturgical forms that are used, for instance, in a directory of worship, for the sacraments, marriage, confirmation, profession of faith, and so forth. Changes are suggested for the calling of the church as she goes about seeking to be effective in today's modern world. And many churches are engaged in what is often called social reform. And they've adopted a social gospel. And so many churches have changed to seeker-friendly institutions, which are composed of believers and unbelievers alike, with the hope that the unbelievers will eventually convert. But for that to happen, any aspect of church which could offend those who enter the doors, that's carefully avoided. Preaching sermons has been replaced by brief homiletic or brief moralistic homilies. Or light drama, or personal testimonies. And there's a band, there's guitars. Modern music. And the desire for spiritual milk, the spiritual milk and meat of God's word, whereby one may grow. Well, that's kind of disappearing. The sacraments are administered without any discretion, open to all. Discipline, practically unheard of. And so to implement these changes, you see also changes made in the work of seminaries, in their curriculum, and in the instruction that's given. It's all got to be made modern. Now, in light of all of this, I find particularly applicable, and I trust you will too, particularly applicable the Word of God as it appears in the words of our text for this morning. It's verse 16. Of the scripture that was read. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Prophet Jeremiah was called to prophesy in Judah during some pretty difficult times, some evil days. Judah had pretty much departed from the ways of Jehovah. Our scripture suggests very strongly that also among the people of Judah, there was this cry for change in the air. Judah too had wearied of the old ways, and the nation was looking for something new. The old ceremonies of the law had become an obnoxious burden. And the complaint was made that the worship of God according to those old ways was no longer meaningful. These ways had become unattractive to the people, especially the youth of the nation. And they no longer attracted them to the temple. New ways of worship, new methods of expressing the faith of the church had to be discovered if the nation was to be relevant, what's that word, relevant to the youth and to the heathen surrounding Canaan. And so the nation had pretty much struck out on new paths, experimenting, blazing new trails through uncharted lands, attempting to find different paths to walk in as they worshiped and in the expression of their faith. Not unlike what we read later in the New Testament, Acts 17:21. For all the Athenians and foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing. Quite descriptive, I would say, of our day and age too. And you know, these new paths that the people had embarked on led them into all kinds of abominations. We read of some of them in this scripture lesson. All kinds of wickedness, immorality. And you know, if you would look at the preceding chapter of Jeremiah, chapter 5, you get a pretty good description of this wickedness. Let me read a bit from chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, for instance. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. And dropping down to verse 23, same chapter, chapter 5. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that gives rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay in wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. And as a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. And they are become great and waxen rich. But they are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not judge. And then finally, at the last couple of verses, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Pretty bad. And instead of repenting of their sins, they just stopped calling it sin. And they pretended that God was still pleased with their offerings. You know, again, it's not unlike what we see happening in our nation and many churches as well today, where homosexuality is now an accepted lifestyle. Same-sex marriages. Okay. Abortion. Fine. That's often done under the guise of Christianity. But beloved, to them the word of God through the prophet Jeremiah comes with force, came with force and with power. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk in it. In other words, stop. Stop walking in the way that you're going. Pause for a moment and consider. Think about what you're doing. Take inventory and examine the course that you've chosen to follow. And then inquire. Ask concerning the old path and learn anew of them. And having learned of them, walk in them. Now, obviously our text, of course, uses a figure of speech, doesn't it? It is a figure of speech which is quite common to the scriptures. Paths, narrow, broad, so forth. And the text describes the life of the people of Judah in terms then of a path, a way, which the people were to walk in. And it's that word path that is of particular concern to us. And that old path perhaps is better, it is better defined by the word ancient. Ancient. And it's called that, called old or ancient, for a number of reasons. In the first place, the word ancient literally means eternal. And the word suggests that this path is above all the path that's marked out by God. It's the path prescribed by God from all eternity, which God defines, you know, that His people may walk in it. Secondly, it's called ancient because it's not a new path, recently discovered or made. But it is, as a matter of fact, very, very old. And thirdly, it's called ancient because it is well trodden, deeply worn, clearly marked. Why? Because a lot of people, many people, have walked that path before. And no doubt, this is also why that path is called good. It's good because it has been defined by God Himself. And many have walked in that path and have found it so, have found that it is good. Now, there's no doubt about the reference so far as the nation of Judah was concerned. These were the paths that were prescribed by the law of God and which were given to Israel through Moses, God's servant. The body of the Mosaic legislation prescribed precisely for the nation of Israel how they were to walk and live as God's people, in a way that's pleasing to them. It described particularly the whole way of worship of God. The temple with its sacrifices and various ceremonies of the law, which set Israel apart from all of the other heathen nations around them. And what makes these paths equally relevant for the church today is that these paths also essentially were types of that foreshadowed the coming of Christ. The promise of the coming Christ shown through all the prescriptions of the law. And in the hope of that promise, Israel and Judah were called to walk and live. Heidelberg Catechism teaches number 18. Who now is that mediator who in one person is true God and also a true and a righteous man? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is freely given unto us for complete redemption and righteousness. But then it's this next one, the following question. From where do you know that? How do you know that? From where do you know that? From the Holy Gospel, careful now, listen. From the Holy Gospel which God first revealed where? In paradise, afterward proclaimed by the holy patriarchs and prophets, foreshadowed by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and finally fulfilled by His well-beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so you see, what is being taught here is that the gospel is clearly taught throughout the scriptures, right? From beginning to end. It's Christ-centered. The Bible is Christ-centered. And it's in these paths that Israel was to walk, had walked in ancient times. Now, beloved, there's an application here to our times as well, which we must not overlook. The ancient paths are still the paths prescribed by God Himself and expressive for His will for us. These paths are clearly and unmistakably defined in God's infallible Word. They define the fundamental principles which are to govern all of our life and conduct. Huh? What's one of those verses that we often memorize? The Psalms. Thy word, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path. And so you see, these paths are paths of truth. And the content of our catechism sets forth these truths. Particularly already in that first question and answer. What's your only comfort in life and in death? That I with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has fully redeemed me from the power of the devil. And so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Wherefore all things must work together for my salvation. By His Holy Spirit, therefore, He assures me also of eternal life, makes me willing and heartily willing and willing and ready henceforth to live for Him. And so you see, those old paths define all of our life and walk in the world as we are called to be children of our Heavenly Father in heaven. Children by adoption through grace for Christ's sake. But you know, These paths are also ancient because we have spiritual fathers who have walked them before us, walked these ways before us. Today, too, these paths are well defined because they've been trodden down by the feet of countless thousands who have come that way before. They're the paths of the old confessions. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Belgic Confession, Canons of Dort, Heidelberg Catechism, Westminster Standards. How refreshing it was that the sermons of this past synod meeting, as well as the morning devotions, were based upon those old confessions. Particularly now, we celebrate the anniversary of the Five Points of Calvinism. They were brought out again in each of the in the two sermons that were preached and in the three morning devotions. These are the old paths. The old paths that were set forth too in our liturgical forms for our sacraments, for our confirmation, for marriage, all drawn up centuries ago, defining the ways in which our fathers have walked. And so, you see, that command that comes to Judah is very sharp and it also contains an awful indictment as well. Judah had begun to walk in new paths, uncharted, unmarked, experimenting with new forms of worship and new theologies. And more sadly, the text suggests Judah had forgotten the ancient ways. It's quite obviously, you know, the implication of the command, ask for those old paths. And such asking presupposes that there was a need to know. And this could only be because of the ancient paths had been forgotten. And that's usually the way it goes, huh? Now, it's true, of course, that the longer one pursues new paths, the more he forgets the ancient paths. But the fact remains that the clamor for change, the incessant appeal for something new, most often arises out of an appalling ignorance of the ancient paths. There's something ironical about that. Those who shout the loudest for changes in theology and worship often scarcely know what the old paths were all about. That plea for change arises then out of an ignorance of both Scripture and also of the old confessions of the church, which most churches have abandoned. Judah had forgotten the old paths. And that was reminiscent, too, of the days of the judges. Listen, So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Judges 2. And it was also an echo of the prophet Hosea's bitter complaint, where we read these words, Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." These were the days when King Josiah and his workers found the book of the law in the temple, and very few in the whole of Judah even recognized what it was. And so to this Judah comes the command, stop. Stop in the ways you're going. Look about you. Take inventory. Examine the manner of your ways. And inquire concerning the ancient paths. And once you have learned of these paths, walk in them. And no less does that command come to the church today. To you. To you as a congregation in the Reformed Church of the United States, especially to its officers. The clamor for change is a danger that's always lurking. And we must be on our guard. There are always those advocating change, and their arguments can sound pretty persuasive. But the call comes. It comes to each of us to inquire concerning the ancient paths. And that implies, first of all, a constant searching of the Scriptures to know the will of Jehovah. For His ways are the ancient ways prescribed for us. But it also implies a good acquaintance, a thorough acquaintance with our confessions and creeds, and a concerted effort to teach them to our members, young and old. Those are the ways that are old. So often, it's a difficult thing. Those are the ways that are old. They are hallowed by the feet of countless thousands who have gone that way before. They are not ways different from the ways that the church is called to walk. Over the centuries, since the time of the apostles, the saints of Jehovah have walked these paths until they are hard-packed. And they are also paths upon which a lot of blood has fallen. For those who have walked that way before have often done so at the price of their own lives. Would we be willing still to do that today? But the church, you know, has a history. It has a blood-stained history. And the church has roots. The church is called to be the ground and pillar of truth. Think about that. And that truth, God's truth, is truth. That truth does not change. His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 105. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah 40:8. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. And those who are called to engage in the work of leading and governing the church must certainly heed this admonition and command, and in humble dependence upon God and by the power of His grace, inquire as to the ancient ways. Know them. Walk in. And now permit me also to take the opportunity to press this truth, yes, upon everyone, but especially the younger generation. Those replacing the old guards, so-called. You may be sure that you will meet with this clamor for change. You may be sure that the temptations will be strong, will sound persuasive and convincing. to change your theology. Change those old confessions. Change your way of worship. All done in the name of relevance. People, young people, I urge upon you this truth, the truth of God's word. It is Jehovah who commands it. Thus says Jehovah God, inquire concerning the ancient paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And so, you see, let the word of God, which lives and abides forever, let the whole counsel of God be your rule and guide always. Honor the paths which your fathers have trod. For, you know, those paths that they have marked out are paths given to them by the Spirit of Christ and are to always be present in the church. Present in the church. Finally, we have yet got to mention this. Not good. What was Judah's response to this command? Coldly, they said, nothing doing. Nothing doing. We will not walk therein. They wouldn't stop in the way that they were going. They would not even pause to consider their way. They would not pause or to inquire concerning the old paths. They were indifferent, profane. They had no delight in God's word, and they were unashamed. How characteristic, you know, again, of our day and age. People continue to invent new ways to worship God and to do their own thing, regardless of what God's word says. But in these new ways, there's no rest. And there's something paradoxical about this. New ways are never satisfying, beloved. They never bring peace. They never have an end. Always the one who sets his feet upon these ways is driven on by that restless desire for something else. Something new. And the new, once tried, turns old and stale. And its attractiveness is soon gone. And its allurement turns to ashes. And so to tickle the fancy, to satiate that craving for what is new, yet another new way has to be devised and new paths explored. You know, explored. It's like the times described in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Listen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. And to this there's no end. There can be no end. And the wrath of God abides on those who depart from His word. That's exactly what happened to the children of Judah. Listen again to what Jeremiah said. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. And therefore I am full of the wrath of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. Pour it out upon the children in the street and upon the gathering of young men also. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the elderly and the very aged. Chilling words. But if the new becomes old, the opposite is also true. And that is the old. The old is always new. The ancient paths are always the new paths. And they are new because they are the paths of God. To the hungry and thirsty heart of the child of God, they're never old. To the guilt-burdened soul, they can be nothing but new. Every time he walks in them. For they are the paths of God and of his Christ. They are the paths of the age old and yet ever new truths of the Scriptures. The truths that make one wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. The truth that brings comfort in life and in death. The truth that never ceases to thrill anew the hearts and souls of God's people. Though they should walk in those paths their whole life through. You know, and that's what Jeremiah reminds us of as well in one of his lamentations. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You sung it moments ago. Jesus came to make these truths, these paths, known. The will of the Father, the way of the Father, the words of eternal life. So listen to him. Hear him as he calls his own unto himself. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. So, beloved, again, hear these words. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. May all of us be given grace to answer, yea, Lord, we will walk therein. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, may we learn always anew of those ancient paths. And may that word, the word, O God, that you have given, the word of truth, may that always be hidden in our hearts, that we do not sin against you. And that, O God, we may know that great peace, yea, that peace that passes all understanding, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love which you have shown us in the Lord Jesus Christ and in these ancient paths of truth. God, hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.